This audio is brought to you by Cotant Family Dentistry, the place to go for advanced dental technology and compassionate, patient-centred care. You can trust your smile with an expert team that puts your comfort first. This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.
Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item was approval of the minutes.
I move to approve the minutes from the June 3rd, 2025.
Second. I have a motion and a second to approve the minutes. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. First item on the agenda are some board appointments. First we'll do is JOCO first. We have a new letter of interest from Dallas McWhorter, as well as Mr. Rick Myers has asked to be reappointed. There are three open positions. Commissioners, the first is an unexpired term that goes to 2028, or the two full terms that go to 2028.
I move to approve or appoint Dallas McWhorter and Rick Myers, reappoint Rick Myers to the GoGo board for the full terms.
Second.
Okay. There is a motion and a second to appoint Dallas McWhorter to a term on the JOCO First Board from 6-1-2025 to 6-1-2028, and to reappoint Rick Myers for a term of 6-1-2025 to 6-1-2028. Is there any discussion? Hearing no discussion, all those in favor of the appointments?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Second. Round of appointments, commissioners, or to the library boards. You have two positions that are open. These are three-year terms that run from 6-1 of 2025 and 6-1 of 2028. First, Shane Greet is asking to be reappointed to a second term on the library board, and Margaret Smith is asking for a waiver so that she could be reappointed to the library board as well.
Motion to reappoint Shane Greet to the library board and to extend the waiver for Margaret. She's really wanting to stay on this project. She's been involved the whole time and would like to finish it, and that's why she's asking for the waiver.
I second that.
Okay. There is a motion and a second to reappoint Shane Greet to a three-year term on the library board and to offer a waiver to the term limits to Margaret Smith and reappoint her to a three-year term on the library board. Is there any discussion? Hearing no discussion, all those in favor of the appointments, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Kenyon, what other appointments are on the horizon? What vacancies do we have at this point still?
We have two positions for the Harold Gerard Park Board, and we also still have one position left for the JOCO First Board.
And if people are interested, how would they go about asking to serve on those boards?
We have an application available on the Johnson County website. There's a link there. And then you can also stop by the County Commissioner's office, or you can give me a call, and I can get you a copy.
No further appointments. Let's move on to the announcements of the Commissioner's second year scholarship. And so like after the the applications were scored and Ms. Kenyon tabulated. It looks like the recipient of the second year student is Ms. Emma Perringer. First alternate is Cora Turner, and the second alternate is Casey Ledoux. Commissioners, what's your pleasure?
I move to award a scholarship to the second year student, Emma Perringer.
There is a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded to award the second year commissioner's scholarship to Emma Perringer. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Mr. Ruby, I believe that you and Mr. Mavrakis have the next item on the agenda, which is MOU with the Lower Clear Creek Irrigation District, and this is the final step in the realignment of the lighter ditch.
Yes, and I do have the original for your signature, Mr. Chairman. So this is the memorandum that we worked out with them. It is part of our project on the north end of the of Lake DeSmet to change, or the, actually get rid of the ditch and spill the water right from the retention pond into Lake DeSmet. Part of the issue that we had with in discussion and negotiation with them is they wanted to wait until they had been able to fill for this year. They've been able to do that, and so now we're able to move forward with that. And so the project is ready to go. Hopefully within the next little bit we'll be able to start that. So this is just another one of the hurdles that we have to get over that will allow us to continue with our project on the north end of the lake. And so this is the agreement that we negotiated with them. Everything is in order. They added one provision to it, which was pursuant to a discussion I had with them that we would wait until they were able to fill. And so everything is in order, and I'd ask for the vote to approve and for your signature.
Mr. Ruby, I want to make sure the commissioners are aware of Exhibit A in the back, and that will show you basically the portion of the ditch that it will be abandoned. The right-of-way there will be abandoned, and that's what's going to get filled in. So that long red line that runs basically along the face, that's what will be filled in, which then will allow Mr. Lawrence to look at some of the things he wants to do with the lots that are adjacent to that portion of the ditch. So that really is that bit of dirt work that's going to get done after the new pipe is in the event that we had an issue with the tunnel.
And will allow us to continue on with our agreement with Mr. Lawrence so that we fulfill our part of that in a timely manner and we can proceed with our project. So.
And if you look in there, you can also see there's a great schematic of where that pipe is going to be, where the proposed boat ramp would be at. I think really the next question then is I'll have to figure out where to put the comfort stations. And I believe Mr. Mavrakis, they have already, Game Fish has already selected a team to design that. Is that correct?
That is true. Chairman, I'd go ahead and make a motion to approve the MOU between Johnson County and the Lower Clear Creek Ditch Irrigation District.
Okay. There is a motion.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Any further discussions or questions on this project?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Does the commission need to formally close some public access to that area here in the near future if Scott's guys are going to be digging, because there is quite a bit of public access that does go on there, and it's if he starts digging that ditch or the pipes, I don't think it's suitable for people to be walking across there.
Yes, Mr. Mavrakis, that is a good point, and I don't know if his intention is to install some temporary fencing or exactly how he wants to, or if he's going to try to put that pipe in one day, I don't know. But that'll definitely be something that when he gets ready to dig that he'll have to coordinate with your office as well as using our emergency management coordinator as a public information officer to disseminate that information if there is any closure out there of a portion of that access point. Because you're right, it is going to be a big day.
It's going to take more than a couple of days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any further discussion? Okay, the motion before you is to have the chairman sign the MOU. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Mr. Ruby, thank you, and Mr. Crago, for all your work on getting this across the finish line and one step closer to construction.
Absolutely. No problem.
To welcome up our county public health nurse to go over some changes in the base contract and also maybe update us a little bit on the latest development on that grant, if you want to visit on that now or if you want to visit this afternoon.
Okay.
Whatever your preference is.
Sounds good. The FEP grant, is that the grant you're referring to?
Yep.
Okay. I'll give you a little update on it now, just along with the contract. So this is our grant agreement and statement of work for our public health emergency preparedness grant. So this is our PHRC position. This unit is taking some pretty big hits both this year and even more so for the next fiscal year. So I have the grant. This is the same thing we do every year. There hasn't been much changes as far as the statement of work, the deliverables, the grant requirements, things like that. So this is the base contract for that grant. However, with this, what they're wanting us to do is go ahead and fulfill this contract with the exception of and the understanding that they're taking a strategic pause and they're only reimbursing salary and benefits for the PHRCs right now, as well as their cell phone, because that's a mandatory, that's a requirement. So they're still trying to secure funding, but it's still dicey and it's not looking good for additional funding to aid in completing some of those deliverables. I talked to Mr. Ruby, and they're going to send out a letter or an amendment or something along those lines at some point that states all this further. But right now, we're going ahead with the original contract and the original amount, knowing that only salary, benefits, and cell phone is going to be reimbursed. That's the only thing we'll be spending money on out of this grant. I imagine the amendment or the letter, whatever comes out, will discuss the match, because there is a match associated with this grant, and if we're not spending the full $111,000, I imagine that we won't be required to match that much. So that's where we're at right now. Any questions on that?
So, because this grant funds Robin's position, is
correct.
That correct?
Yes. And they believe that they have secured enough funding to cover the salary and benefits and cell phone for all the PHRCs until June 30th of next year, at a minimum.
So the commissioners so the discussion about the amendment, they wanted to send out a letter that says, hey, this is what's going to be covered and not covered. And I said, no, we want an amendment that we can sign, that we can review and we can sign. So that should be coming. I think it's been transmitted to them, so they should know.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't seen that yet. But if we're agreeing to take less, I want to make sure that we know exactly what we're agreeing to and not just get a letter that says, here's what you're going to do. So that's why I said we want the amendment. And plus, it's easier for us to track and to have a record of it. And there's an official public meeting where it is talked about. So that should be coming in the future.
Questions for the public health, County Public Health Nurse, on the change in the grant, the services that Robin delivers under this grant, or any questions for the county attorney on the overall contract.
Not at this time.
I do have one other comment about the contract.
Yes, Mr.
So I read through the contract in D. I didn't talk to Ms. Rudick about this, but in D of paragraph 4, it has a reporting requirement. Mm-hmm. The wording is horrible on it. It talks about the grant like it's a multi-year grant, and it's not. It's a one-year grant. And it says by July 31st, then our public health officer, our sub-recipient, which is us, would be required to give a summary of everything that has been done and how much, you know, how that money has been used. Well, that happens in a month. And I advised him and said, this makes no sense to have this wording in there, because I told the Attorney General, I said, this makes no sense because it's right at the start of the grant. We will have expended hardly any amount of money. I understand what you are talking about and what you were asking for, but it should be July 31st, 2026 is what they're contemplating. They did not want to do that. They did not want to amend that because of the Department of Audit wants this in all the contracts. So I advised them. I said, okay, well, I'm going to advise our public health that that does not include July 31st of 2025. It is intended for 2026. And I said, I'm also going to put it on the record in our public meeting so that there is a record that that is how we are interpreting and we will move forward. So they were pretty not willing to budge much on it. They said, well, that's what the Department of Audit wants. And I understand the Department of Audit wanting this on multi-year grants. This is not one. And so we will not have to comply with the July 31st, 2025, even though if we claim reading of the document says that, it's just July 31st, 2026.
Okay.
So, just for that clarity.
Thank you.
Otherwise, it looks okay.
Any additional questions for county attorney or public officers? No? Yeah. All right, commissioners, what's your pleasure?
I'd go make a motion to go into brief contract with Wyoming Department of Public Health, number 248-916. Excuse me.
There is a motion. Is there a second?
A second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the contract. Any further discussion or questions?
No.
Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, and thank you for everything to do. Any other than probably respiratory issues with all of the allergens and cotton and everything else in the air, any big updates from public health?
No big updates. We're kind of smooth sailing, which is great. We are able to continue the conferences and stuff with all of the questions and funding that are happening throughout the state and the federal government. We're able to continue our conferences where we get those updates and have those meetings about our programs, which is really good news because it's important for us to all get together every year. And that's what we're focused on right now, is making sure we can keep those programs up and running and with the most updated medical advice. Yeah.
And any update on the hiring for your county nurse?
Nope. So the gal we were going to bring in, she found another position that I think she'll be wonderfully suited for. So we're disappointed, but we are looking for that position again. Yep. So we're hiring if you know any nurses.
Well, that's too bad, but thank you
for
that update.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Commissioners, the next request... In 2016, Johnson County was involved in a roadless collaborative that dealt with the Bighorn National Forest, and our regional forest supervisor is requesting that we write a letter of support for the work of that collaborative to the chief of the Forest Service, because they're going to present that recommendation. This was discussed at the Bighorn Mountain Steering Committee meeting last Thursday in Sheridan, and so I would just ask for permission write a letter of support for the work of the Roadless Collaborative.
Can you explain that a little bit more in detail for me, please?
Yes, Commissioner. Because
you were,
you were
2016.
Well, you were
in the audience.
We were wearing a different
hat.
You were patrolling the forest. There is a discrepancy between the forest plan a roadless rule that was administered during the Clinton administration, a subsequent rule during the Bush administration. So Governor Meade allocated money under the Healthy Forests Initiative to resolve the disputes and the maps. So the Forest Service convened a collaborative that met for 2 years that rectified the differences in those maps. There was representatives on that from the four counties, as well as recreation, environmental groups, and the general public. I sat on that collaborative on behalf of the county. We got through the map remediation, and then the governor shelved the plan. And so this, I think, in support of what President Trump is trying to do with encouraging healthier forests and a vibrant timber industry, as well as fire resiliency, is resurrecting that work that was done and trying to get it across the finish line with what would be called a technical correction by the forest chief in Washington, D.C., who happens to now be a graduate of the University of Wyoming.
So if you kind of go along with what they're talking about, the roadless initiative now, what President Trump's want to change?
Absolutely, Commissioner.
Yeah. So I'd move to approve that letter.
Okay.
Second.
There is a motion and a second to approve the letter in support of the roadless collaborative. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I do believe the next item on our agenda is some malt beverages. This first is a request for a malt beverage only for Summit Gymnastics Pig Wrestling at the Johnson County Fairgrounds. And it looks like South Fork Mountain Lodge will be handling the sale of malt beverages. This will be on the 20th at the Johnson County Fairgrounds.
Good. Move to approve. Okay. Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the malt beverage permit. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We are now at a time of vouchers, and I don't see the big voucher package.
Oh.
Commissioners, were there any vouchers that you wish to pull for further discussion? All right, the vouchers that have been presented are in the amount of $630,343.74.
Move to approve for said amount.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded to pay the vouchers. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Mr. Ruby, do you have additional business you need the commissioners to transact today?
I do not. Thank you.
Ms. Kenyon?
No, sir.
Madam Clerk? With no further items on the scheduled agenda, we would open it up to public comment. Before we do that, we would remind everyone that the commissioners will resume budget hearings at 1 o'clock today. So with that, we would welcome any public comment. Gentlemen, if you come forward, and we just ask that you please identify yourselves so the clerk can get your comments in the record with your names.
I'm Dick Hall. This is Sal Crivello.
Sal Crivello.
We live on Island View Drive, there on the north end of the lake, right on the shore. And we just handed you a, Sal just handed you a little deal. I'll just go over it real quick. Like, it's in regards to the shoreline regulations. Mike Sell Potts Recreation Area. People can camp for $15 a day, maximum of 14 days in a row in a 20-day period. They can camp on the water's edge, picnic tables, fire ring provided, bathrooms, volleyball, two launch ramps, very nice facility. The monument area, no fees. There's a launch ramp and a dock provided. It's a great area, gets lots of use. People drive to the shoreline, launch their sea-doos, boats, etc. However, according to the public use regulations, no one has the right to launch a boat unless they are using the concrete launch ramp. Can't drive on unmarked roads or down to the shore. Being able to drive down to the shoreline makes it easy for older people to enjoy the lake, watch their grandkids. Lots of rules and regulations that are fortunately not being enforced. Private property owners above the 4620 elevation, they're not allowed to have any motorized equipment below the 4620 elevation mark. Property owners want to have a nice looking property. They use motorized equipment to help with shoreline maintenance, haul off leaves, sticks, washed up floating debris. However, according to the public use regulations, this is a violation of the rules. We want more lawn down below the 4620. Nice to keep the lawn short so we can see the snakes. Lakeside property owners do not understand why the general public can do all of the things you are telling us we are not supposed to do. We do appreciate the fact that you have not been enforcing the shoreline regulations for the general public so they can thoroughly enjoy the lake, and we're hopeful that you will treat the property owners that way too. I've got some pictures here. Paul Mavarakis suggested I come to the county commissioners if I didn't think some of the rules and regulations were proper. First picture is the Mike Sell Potts area where they have camping. Very nice, you're right down on the water, $15 a day. Next picture, and this is the weekday, in the middle of the week, it was like 70 degrees. But the Monument Dock and Shore shows the dock, shows people parked along the shore illegally. There, another one in the weekday, the Monument area, two more cars, quote, parked illegally down by the shore. On the west shore, more cars parked down on the shore. Got one boat, trailer, they launched there. That's great. I mean, it makes the lake usable. People enjoy it. The last picture, I showed debris that just washed up by our dock this morning. And if you're going to get the debris out, I'd like to use something motorized to pull it out. So that's where we're at. I'm just asking, I think the rules and regulations that you have that are supposedly supposed to be being enforced are somewhat unreasonable. It's great to have people use the lake, be able to park down by it. The monument area is very good, but I just don't understand why you're saying you can't have a motorized vehicle below the 4620 mark.
Sir, do you have a public comment as well, or are you just along for support?
I'm along for support, and I'm Mr. Hall's neighbor. But it's just any little thing we need to do, move a rock, move something to make it more accessible. First, we have to put a $500 request in.
An application.
Application. And then we have to bring an engineer in. Move a couple rocks. I need an engineer. Pay him $500-$600. It seems a little onerous. And it's stuff to make our access a little easier without injury for people and really just beautifying our land. And we're kind of handcuffed and we can't do anything to make our journey a little easier down to the lake. And there's quite a few older people that live around there that have some very steep property that is kind of dangerous. And other than at the Lake de Sebette meetings, they were talking about aluminum staircases here or there that are portable that you can put in and take out. But I think that would look horrible. And that was one of the resolutions, but I don't think it ever went anywhere. I think it's still being talked about, allowing people to get access down to the water.
So it just seems strange. You got property owners that are paying thousands of dollars in property tax, and we aren't supposed to get a vehicle down there close to the shore at all. You've got the general public that's driving all over, which I agree with. I mean, why not let them access the lake? But it just seems strange that the people that are paying high property taxes, have property along the shore, are not supposed to do all these things. So maybe some of the rules should be revised.
And were you gentlemen aware that Johnson County does not own the property at the monument?
Who owns it?
The Wyoming Game and Fish.
Okay. So they have different rules for them, and then different for the homeowners along the along the shoreline.
No, we just wanted to be clear. The shoreline regulations are the shoreline regulations.
Right.
But just so we compare apples to apples or apples to oranges, Johnson County does not own the monument. We administer some of the maintenance there through an agreement, but that's why we Game and Fish property.
Okay.
Well, Paul Mavarak has just suggested I come talk to the commissioners and see what you think.
Who's liable for any injuries in that area between the water and the elevation line? I mean, if someone were to fall and break a hip.
Sure, so I'll...
That's county, right?
Pitch it over to our county attorney right there who can explain the recreational act that covers known risk as well as governmental claims and just any of the liability issues because he is the county attorney.
Right.
So, not going into too much detail, the lake is sort of use at your own risk kind of a situation, right?
And that's, the county tells us we can't modify, put maybe some steps down, nice stone that blends in with the...
Well,
we
sir,
can't do that.
What you're asking is, so if you and I are neighbors, okay, you're asking to come on my property to change something so that it's easier for you to access my property. That's in essence what you're asking.
You and as so the owner of the lake or... Below the
county
below
is the owner of the below 4620, right. And so that's what you're asking.
Right.
And so from that standpoint, it's the same kind of thing. There's an assumption of risk for you to use it. Also, if someone buys property by the lake and the access to the lake from their property is not what they wanted it to be, they didn't have to buy that property.
Yeah.
And so there's various things like that. So I would... I don't want to get into that debate with you guys, but the reality is I would like you guys to look at it from that standpoint, okay? Everybody thinks, well, county, public, okay? It is. But also, I want you to look at it as a neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that you're requesting and the things that you think you ought to do or be able to do are the things that do you think that your neighbor would let you do those things on their property? Maybe they would, maybe they wouldn't. Right now, the county lets our neighbors do a lot more on our property than what we're required to do. And so what I would say is think of it in that kind of a setting. And from as far as an individual trying to get to the lake on a place that is dangerous, is the county going to be liable for that or responsible for that? No. Without getting into too much detail.
Right,
that's,
right. And you're tying our hands. In essence, telling us we can't see there's a rock in the way. You can't touch the rock unless I get an engineer to come down and write a report that if I move that rock, it's not going to cause any other damage.
Is that rock on your property?
It is. Well, it was half on and half. I had moved some rocks just to make so I can get my dock to roll down there.
So the answer is no. The rock is not entirely on your property.
No, it was both. It was on both properties. It was on my property and the county.
So not entirely on your property.
Correct.
And so you would have to get permission from any other landowner if you were wanting to move that, right? That happens a lot in the city where people have, there's a tree that hangs over your neighbor's.
Mm-hmm.
You have to work out permission to figure that. It's the same kind of thing. And so the reality of it is the county tries to be really good neighbors with anyone that they deal with, right? Anyone. Whether it's the public that's down there using various places, or a private landowner who owns property right next to us. We try to neighbor with everybody, but part of the issue becomes we have an obligation, right, through various reasons to maintain the integrity of the lake. Now, do I think that rock is probably going to change much? Probably not. But those regulations were put in place to protect the public's use and the integrity of that lake.
Okay.
Now, it may seem silly, right? But the other side of that is as the private land owner, I get to choose what I do on my property.
Mm-hmm.
And so the county gets to choose what it does on its property. Same kind of thing. And so it's not that they're trying to treat, and this is outside of what we're talking about, but I just wanted to clear that up, that it, the county's not trying to treat the folks that own property along the lake differently than the public, or worse than the public, or restrict their access. But the difference is, as outlined by the Commissioner Navani, there's a different ownership there, right? But also, you are, by virtue of the fact that you live next to the lake,
mm-hmm.
you occupy a position where you could permanently change something there, okay? Other folks don't. They come for the day, they leave,
mm-hmm.
right? And so it's very different. And so
we're not paying our taxes either, our very exorbitant taxes.
Well,
also, what about the mitigation of the erosion? I mean, that's getting kind of out of hand, too.
So here's what I would tell you. I've already said more than what we do in public comment. So the purpose of public comment is for you to come, make your comment, and the commissioners take it in. The commissioner asked me to answer one thing about liability. I went a little farther than that. If you would like to have a discussion about your taxes or anything like that, I'm more than happy to talk to you after the meeting.
Appreciate it.
Okay.
And sir, what I would say first on the taxes, just remember that on that tax bill, only 12% of that comes to Johnson County. And if you look at the cost of operating that lake, all of the adjacent landowners do not generate enough property tax that the county collects to support the operation of that lake.
Mm-hmm.
So it is not an easy thing. In regards to erosion control, that is exactly the reason that we engage an engineer anytime we're going to make improvements, because as Mr. Ruby alluded to, the integrity of that lake, and we hit a point when we fill that lake where, as a lot of people know, it starts to seep just because
mm-hmm.
of the composition
yeah.
out there. It is one of the most difficult reservoirs in the country to operate because of the elevation, the way that the water comes into the lake between the tunnels. Our operating department does an incredible job of running it. We run it on a shoestring budget. We certainly honor the terms of the recreational lease that we signed with the Wyoming Game and Fish to provide a guaranteed amount of water in that lake so that people may recreate on it. And we are also doing our very best to honor the wishes of the Michaels and the Potts family who donated the property where that is at to provide public access.
Well, if you look at this last picture here, where our dock is in the debris, we've got those trees floated down. We've probably got another 25 trees up the shoreline that are going to be falling off. Here, 3 years ago, Megan held the level of the reservoir up real high. It was a wet year. She wanted to fill all the water rights, and they held it excessively high. So all these trees on the west side of us are eventually going to be falling into the lake. They've been undermined. So unfortunately, that happened. And it was silly for her to hold the level so high. I called her 3 times. She said they had to fill the water rights. Well, Mike Whitaker, he used to be the water commissioner in Sheridan, said, you have to fill the water rights, but since Johnson County owns 10,000 acre feet of water, they can release some of their water and lower the level of the lake instead of eroding the shoreline. If you look at the one picture here, the monument, the dock, and the shore, right off the dock up above, you'll see some rocks. Those rocks were put there to keep the cars from driving around and coming on the shoreline. Somebody moved the rock so the cars can come out there. If we move that rock, it's a $500 fee plus another $500 or $600 for the engineer to say, yeah, that looks okay. So it's just, some of this is ridiculous. And I agree, we want to,
yeah.
the landowners want to protect the lake.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what are your thoughts, the commissioners?
I think the shoreline regulations went through a very lengthy public comment process. I hope you submitted comments. They also went through a revision several years ago. I know the Lake Dismit Advisory Board is looking at forwarding a recommendation that would allow dock owners of one time in the spring and one time in the fall use of a motorized vehicle on the shoreline to put their docks in and out. I think those are great concessions by the county, and I stand firmly behind the regulations that were adopted.
Okay, well, what about the big branches? Should I just float those out into the lake and let them float down to the Mike Sells area, and you guys can pull them out? I mean, I can't pull them out by hand. I've got to get a motorized vehicle and pull them out. I'm willing to pull them out and take care of it, but it's kind of ridiculous. I'm not supposed to have a motorized vehicle down in that area.
I imagine those branches probably came from that long sustained wind last evening, and unfortunately
it did. There are a lot more that are going to come eventually, just a matter of time. But realistically, you know, my gosh, unbelievable.
Mr. Earl, I'm happy to talk to you after about some of those things.
Be glad to. But it's just insane. Trees blow down, you got a log that's going to be in the water. The property owner is willing to take it out.
Then you can't.
Yeah. Do I have to go get an make an application to remove the floating debris? So anyway, appreciate your listening to us.
Thank you for your public comments.
You bet. Yep, have a good day.
Are there additional public comments? Any additional public comments? Hearing no public comments, we'll go ahead and close public comment. Reach the end of our agenda.
Make the motion to adjourn.
Moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded to adjourn. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
This audio was brought to you by Cotant Family Dentistry in Buffalo. This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.